Good morning, church. You get me this morning. Jimmy is preaching in Kokomo, and Phil Fisher is preaching in Whitley County. So New Life is scattered all over the place, but praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord's doing some amazing and awesome things. He's done some amazing and awesome things this year. I'm going to struggle a little bit up here. I might lose my voice from time to time, so just bear with me this morning. But wow, that song is such a great reminder that our Father in heaven gave His one and only Son for us. Amen, church? He gave His one and only Son. Why would He do that? Why would He give us His Son? Because the Bible says that He loved the world. Amen. He loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son. That if anyone believes in Him, they should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the God you serve. Amen. God is awesome. There's no one like Him. He's forgiven you in your life. And I love the song as well, is that we're almost home. This place is not our final destination. Amen. It is with the Lord. It is with God in heaven. I hope you know that this morning. We're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1 this morning. As I always do, I want to read a little song for you. It says in Psalm 68:35, it says, "You, God, are awesome in your sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to His people. Praise be to God." That's the God you serve, the God who is awesome, that calls us to do amazing things in life, that calls us to do awesome things in the kingdom of God, things that we can't do on our own, things that we can't do without Him. Amen, church? But some of us struggled this morning at being what it means to be a godly leader. What it means to be a godly leader. Sometimes we struggle with that in life. Sometimes we struggle with the things God calls us to do. Sometimes we think they're too big, they're too awesome for me to do. And sometimes they can be difficult to accomplish. Amen, church? But the awesome thing is that God calls us to do it. God calls you, the amazing and awesome Father in heaven and all of His majesty and glory calls you to do things in the kingdom of God. And I want to ask you, church, this morning, are you being the leader that God has called you to be? This is what we'll talk about this morning, because we're all our leaders in our life. No matter if you think you're not, you are a leader in your life. Somewhere in your life, you're a leader, and God called you to be a godly leader. Nehemiah chapter 1. But to understand Nehemiah chapter 1, we got to understand a little bit of context. This morning, you see, the Jews were taken into exile about 150 years before Nehemiah. That's a long time. That's a long time. Nehemiah didn't know these people. Nehemiah was never even born. And what happened was the Babylonians came in and they destroyed Jerusalem. They took everything out. They destroyed the temple. They destroyed the walls. They set everything on fire. The whole land was basically decimated. It was just destruction. But then the people in the book of Ezra begin to come back to Jerusalem. And what's the first thing that they did was they built the temple of the Lord. They begin to build the foundation. They begin to build the temple. But there's one thing that remained unbuilt, and that's the walls. Can I tell you that it would be pretty difficult to have anything of value if you had no walls to protect you? This is why the people, when the temple was laid, the older people who had kind of seen what the temple had looked like, they were like, man, this doesn't even look the same. Well, if they would have put gold and silver in the amazingness of the temple, it would have gotten stolen. Why? Because they had no protection. They were defenseless. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, 'Those who survived the exile are back in the province, are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire.'" What is happening here? What do we see? Is Nehemiah was not just some citizen of the Persian Empire. He had some power. He had some prominence. Why? Because it says that he was in the citadel of Susa. What's Susa? Susa is the capital city of the Persian Empire. That means, what's the citadel? It's the fortified building, or it's the palace. That's where Nehemiah was. He wasn't just a citizen of Persia. He was in the palace. And then what does he say? He begins to ask his brothers about Jerusalem. What's been going on? Since you guys have been there for about 70 years, what's been going on there? Has anything changed? And unfortunately, Nehemiah gets some bad news. What do they say? He said, those who survived the exile are back in the province, are in great trouble and disgrace, and the walls of Jerusalem are broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. What is happening here is Nehemiah is beginning to get some bad news. Have you gotten bad news in your life? Have you ever found out that your life is not going so great, and you get this bad news, and you're like, man, I don't know how I'm going to make it. You're in great trouble and disgrace in your life. Many times we've been there. But why does Nehemiah care so much about Jerusalem? When he's living in the palace, he's pretty much got everything he can possibly have. Why would he care so much about Jerusalem? See, what's amazing to me is that Nehemiah, even though he was in the Persian Empire, even though he was in the palace, even though his body was there, his heart was with his people in Jerusalem. And this ought to be our perspective in the house of God this morning, that even though we live here in this fallen world, in the world that is filled with destruction and the walls are crumbling down all around us, even though we live in that world, our heart is with God in heaven. Amen. The Bible says we are just foreigners and strangers and aliens here, but we're almost home. Amen, church. We're almost home. Come on now. We're almost home. This ought to be our perspective in life, because you're not going to get through this horrible life at times. Not always. There's some amazing things about this life, but there are also a lot of bad things. We ought to be looking forward to our home in heaven. We ought to be looking forward to seeing our loved ones who have put their trust in Jesus Christ. He gets bad news and the walls are broken down. They're burned. Why is this so significant? Why is this so important? Because that means Jerusalem is defenseless. And why? It says here, basically, what are they? They're just surviving. You ever feel like that in your life? You're just surviving. You know, that's pretty miserable to feel that way. I'm just surviving. You know, Nehemiah didn't want the people to just be surviving. He wanted his people to be thriving. But the only way that that was going to happen is if the walls of Jerusalem were going to be built back up. This wasn't just some small thing. This was a major thing to Nehemiah. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Are the walls broken down in your life? Sometimes we feel that way. The walls are broken down. I feel defenseless. I feel vulnerable. I feel like I'm being attacked from every angle in life. I feel like Satan and his fiery arrows are just hitting me and hitting me and hitting me. Because why? Because my walls are down. My walls are down in my life. I'm defenseless. Verse 4, it says, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. What is happening here? It says, here's the response of Nehemiah to hearing this bad news in his life. He says, what does it say? He says, I sat down and I wept. He couldn't even stand. You ever been hit with some news in your life that just brought you to your knees? You ever been hit with news in your life that just, I've been there a couple times in my life, and it's not places I want to be in life. It just brought you down to your knees. It just brought you down to your knees. It broke his heart. It broke his heart, church. Are there things in your life that break your heart? There should be. There should be things in your life that, as a believer in Jesus Christ, there should be things in your life that break your heart. What are some of those things? The lostness out there should break our hearts. Amen, church? The people that are lost, that are broken, that are hurting, the disease and the suffering and the pain ought to break our heart. We ought to sit down and weep for the brokenness that we see all around us. Amen, church? I hope that is our attitude this morning. See, some of you might be thinking, well, it's just the city. Why, Nehemiah, why are you getting so bent out of shape? It's just the city. Some of us, why do we think that? Because really we don't care about our city like they did back then. We don't care about what's really happening in our city or what's happening here in Huntington. We don't really care what's going on. But Nehemiah cared. Why? Because Jerusalem wasn't just a city. Jerusalem was their promised covenant of God. It was their promise of God. And what happens, what was the walls being knocked down was a reminder that of their broken covenant with God. Why did Nehemiah want the walls to be built so much? Is because he didn't want to be constantly reminded that their covenant with God was broken. So what does Nehemiah do? It says, for some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Nehemiah does exactly what you should do. Go to the living God. Go to God, call out to Him. And if you want to be a godly leader in your life, number one is you've got to call out to the living God. You've got to call out to the living God. You've got to get serious in your life. You've got to get serious about prayer. Prayer shouldn't just be a drive-through thing. It shouldn't be something that you just do when you're in trouble. Rather, you should go to God. You should call out to Him. Why? Because you know that He is the only one that can build your spiritual walls back up. He's the only one that has the power to do the thing that is impossible in your life, which is to give you protection and peace in your life. He's the only one that can do that. The only one that can do that. Verse 5, it says, "Then I said, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps His covenant of love with those who love Him and keep His commandments. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant is praying before you day and night. For your servants, the people of Israel, I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you, and we have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses." Wow, what a beautiful start to this prayer. What does he say? He says, "Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps His covenant of love." That's the God you serve. Amen, church? That's the God you serve. The God who is amazing. The God who is awesome and great. Not only that, the one who is faithful, who is slow to anger, who abounds in love, who's compassionate, who is patient, who is all those things. Amen, church? If you want to be a godly leader in your life, number two is you got to remember who the Lord is. You got to remember that He's great and awesome. You've got to remember He's the one who keeps His promises. You've got to remember it's the essential thing in your life to do the things God has called you to. God gives us these things so that we can rely on Him. God gives us these amazing and wonderful things so that we can rely on Him. God is great and awesome, and you've got to remember that in your life. If you don't, you're not going to make it through the things in your life. You're not going to do the things God has called you to. And if you want to be a godly leader in your life, this is such an amazing thing. As Nehemiah does something amazing, what's he do? He confesses sins. He also, this is what I find amazing. Nehemiah confesses the sins. He didn't even commit. Remember what I said, the exile was 150 years before that. But what does he say? He says, "I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you." He didn't commit them. But if you want to be a godly leader in your life, you've got to take responsibility for yourself and for the people God has entrusted to you. Remember what I said, church, we are all leaders in our life. God has entrusted people to you in your life, people I would never see, and myself, people you're never going to see. God has entrusted to you, and you've got to take responsibility. See, there's a lot of bad leaders out there that cast blame. I say, well, it's so-and-so's fault, or it's so, but it's never my fault. Nehemiah didn't do that. What did he do? He says, "I confess with them, we Israelites, and myself, and my father's family." That's what a godly leader does. See, Nehemiah humbled himself and confessed the sins he was never a part of. Yet he knew that if God was ever going to let the walls be built, it starts with something very important, church. It starts with a confessed heart. See, some of us today, this is where we struggle. We feel like our walls are crumbling down. We feel like things aren't going the way I want them to go. We think my life is in chaos and disarray, all those things. But maybe it's because we have unconfessed sin in our life. See, God's not going to start building the walls of your life if you have confessed sin. Though that may be tough to hear, church, I pray that all of us are allowing God to strengthen the walls of our life. But that only happens when we're like Nehemiah and we start with confessing our hearts. When we start to let our hearts break for unconfessed sin in our life. See, sin keeps us, listen to me, church, sin keeps our walls from being built. It stops right there. Sin keeps our walls from being built. This is very important, church. Very important. Verse 8, it says, "Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I'll scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people whom you've redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was cupbearer to the king. What is going on? What is Nehemiah talking about here? He's saying something that I think we don't do enough, church. I think we miss this out. Is what's he doing? He's reminding God. And maybe you're here and you're asking, why would you do that? Doesn't God know all things? Of course he knows all things. This is not why Nehemiah is reminding, well, Lord, I think you might have forgotten. No, he's not saying that. And rather, he's saying, Lord, I know you are the faithful one who keeps your promise. Lord, remember your promises. Remember the promises that you gave to your people. What's that promise? He says something so amazing. He says, if you are unfaithful, I'll scatter you. But listen to me, church. If you come back to the Lord, he'll bring you back from the farthest horizons, and he'll bring you back into his presence. That's an amazing promise in our life, and that's an amazing promise to the Israelites. Not only will he bring you back, but he'll start to begin to build your walls again. That's amazing to me. If you want to be a godly leader in your life, is number four, is remind God of his promises. Remind the Lord of the promises in your life. Remind the Lord that he is able, and he's able to do immeasurably more than whatever you ask. Remind him that you are the Lord who answers prayers. Remind him that you, Lord, are the one who keeps his promises. You, Lord, are the one who forgives when I confess sins. Remind the Lord of his promises. The Lord wants you to remind him of his promises. It shows that you know him. It shows that you know the Lord in your life. Remind him of who he is. Not because you think he's not going to do it, because you know he is the Lord who is faithful. There's been many times, listen to me, church, there's been many times we've done that in this place where the ministries are back against the wall and we don't have the finances, we don't know where the money is going to come from. And many times I've heard Jimmy say it, and many times I've said it myself. Lord, you're the one who gave us this amazing vision, and you promised to provide it for it. This is what you should be doing in your life. Lord, you called me to do this, and you're going to provide for it. You're going to see it through, because that's the God that we serve. Nehemiah is also reminding the Lord what he's done. What has he done? He says, you've redeemed your people by your great strength and by your mighty hand. That's the God you serve. See, this is the problem. We think God is just looking to destroy us, to take us down, all those things. But listen to me. If God went through all the trouble, the songs we just sang, all the trouble to save your life, to send his son to die on the cross for you, why would you think he would try to destroy you? If he sent his one and only son to die for you. God's not here to destroy you, rather to redeem you by his great strength and mighty hand. Amen, church? Amen. I hope you know that in your life. I hope you always remember that in your life. Nehemiah then prays that God would give him success. Success. Success in the presence of this man. What's this man? Who's he talking about? He's talking about the king. See, what we're about to find out is that Nehemiah is... He says, I was the cupbearer to the king. What's that? What's that job? It's basically the guy who has to taste the wine before he gives it to the king to make sure it's not poison, and he had some other jobs as well. But he was always with the king. Always with the king. If there was one person that was closest to the king, it was probably his cupbearer. The one who was always there. He says, give me favor in the presence, because Nehemiah is about to go to the king. He's about to go and ask something of the king. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says, in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought before him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before. So the king asked me, why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of the heart. I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? The king said to me, what is it you want? Then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city of Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it. What is happening here? What is Nehemiah asking? And why is this so significant? It's because we see Nehemiah's heart here. We see that he was sad, that he was brokenhearted. And this is very important because he goes before the king and he's still sad. Can I tell you, church, you're not supposed to do that. You were not allowed to be sad in the presence of the king. The limitations were so numerous of what he might do to you. He could kill you for just being sad. If you look in the book of Esther, we see Esther's uncle He was going to go in the presence of the king, but he had sackcloth and mourning clothes. And they said, nope, you ain't going before the king. We don't let people in mourning clothes go to the king. You weren't allowed to be sad. And the king took notice, right? He says, why do you look so sad? You're not sick. You're not sick. This can be nothing but sadness of the heart. And then he says, I was very much afraid. Why was Nehemiah so afraid? Why? He prayed, right? He asked the Lord for help. Well, why would Nehemiah still be afraid? Because, again, if you look in the book of Ezra, you see this pretty crazy thing is where the people already tried to build the wall. They already tried to build the wall, and it didn't work. Why? Because this king right here, this king that Nehemiah is talking to right now, said, nope, we're not going to build the wall. In fact, he sent letters to the surrounding people saying, basically, don't let them build it. Don't let them build it. So now Nehemiah has to go for the king that he knows has already said no to building the wall. That's very important. That's very important. Why is this so important, church? Why is this so important? It's because fear didn't stop Nehemiah from doing what God called him to. Fear didn't stop Nehemiah. And how can you be a godly leader in your life? Number five is we do not let fear prevent us from doing what God's called us to. Can you imagine where you might be in life if you always allowed fear to stop you from doing what God has called you to? You would never see the amazingness of God. You would never see how God is awesome. You never see God do impossible things. I hope that's what you understand. See, many of us get right to this point. We get right to this point. We pray. We see the need. We see the brokenness in the world, and we know that the Lord is calling us to do something. We know the Lord is calling us to help. But then something happens, and we're like, "Wow, this is too big. I'm not going to be able to do this." And fear consumes our life, and we're not able to do it. It stops us, and we give up. And then I wonder what may have happened if you allowed the Lord to actually do it in your life. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know what the Lord may be able to do. Why? Because it's unimaginable. It's unimaginable what the Lord can do in your life. Verse 11, we'll skip to verse 11. Basically, Nehemiah asked for some letters. He has to go to those surrounding nations again, surrounding people. And if he doesn't have a letter to get through, they ain't going to let him come through. If he's like, hey, I'm coming to build the wall. Well, didn't the king tell us that you're not supposed to build the wall? He's got to have some letters. So the king gives him some letters and some soldiers to take with him. You know what? Just for a second. Nehemiah must have had some great character before the king. To be able to ask for all this and the king give it. That didn't really happen very often, especially to a Jew in the Persian Empire. That definitely didn't happen very often. Verse 11 says, when he got to Jerusalem, it says, I went to Jerusalem, and after staying there 3 days, I set out during the night with a few others. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me except the one I was riding on. By night I went out through the valley gate, through the jackal well, and the dung gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates had been destroyed by fire. Then I moved on toward the fountain gate and the king's pool, but there was not enough room for my mount to get through. What is happening here is Nehemiah says, I'm going to go out. I'm going to look at the destruction. I'm going to see what's going on. I'm going to see how bad the destruction. And I'm going to see how bad the rubble and all that is. And what does he find? I think it's pretty crazy is he doesn't get very far. If you see the map of what the wall looked like, if he doesn't get very far, he only gets to a couple gates. And then the rubble's too much. Can't even get his mount through, whether that's a camel or a horse or whatever. He can't. He can't get through. Why is this so important to understand? Is this task wasn't going to be easy. It wasn't going to be easy. It wasn't going to be easy to build a wall. This wasn't going to be some simple task. It wasn't going to be easy to build a wall. And Nehemiah is figuring that out pretty fast. That, wow, maybe he was like, man, this was not what I expected it was going to be. This was way worse. You ever been that like that in your life? You're like, I'm going to fix this. This was way harder than I thought. You know how many things in this church I've tried to fix? I'm like, wow, Men, you know, if you went down to the bathroom downstairs, there's a urinal down there that's still not working. Well, that's because I thought that job was going to be a lot easier than what it was and realized that I'm not capable of fixing that toilet. The job was way harder than I thought it was going to be. Maybe Nehemiah is thinking that right now. Wow, this thing's going to be big. This is going to take some time. This is going to be a lot of effort. And many people, many times, will stop right here. So, nah, that's good. Someone else can do it. That's good. Someone else can do it. This is too big for me. I'm not the person qualified to do this. I'm not the person to lead this. I'm not the person to do this task. See, many of us see the task is too big and we say, well, too big. Not for me. Then we miss out on seeing God do amazing things. Then you miss out on seeing the Lord. Do you know that none of us are really ever equipped to do the things of God? You can't. This is why God gives us these things, so that we have to rely on Him, so that we have to put our trust in Him. And if you want to be a godly leader in your life, as number six is, you got to examine the task before you. Not only do you have to examine the task before you, but you have to realize that it's going to be too big for me. What do I mean by that? I mean that you have to know that you're only going to be able to do this with God. You're only going to be able to do this with the Lord. See, Nehemiah went out, he observed the wall. Why'd he do that? Why'd he go out and do that? So that he would be able to better lead the people on how to restore it. You know that even though maybe at times it might have felt that way, sometimes the Lord moves fast. But every ministry we have has went through planning. We've examined the task before us. And we've all come to the same conclusion every time the Lord gives us a new task. Lord, you've got to help us with this task. You're going to have to help us do this task. This task is going to be too big for us to do on our own. Verse 17, it says, "Then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me, and what the king had said to me. They replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began to do this good work." See, what I find so amazing is Nehemiah motivated the people to follow the Lord. You ever been motivated to do something? Have you ever motivated someone to do something? It is very rewarding to do that. It is. And the people to follow the Lord so that they could accomplish this huge task. He shared with them what the Lord has done, how the Lord has been gracious to him, what the king had said about this. And then they replied. They said back to him, "Let us start rebuilding. Let us start rebuilding." So they began this good work. See, if you want to be a godly leader in your life, maybe the most important is number seven. Is you got to motivate others to follow the Lord. This is essential to being a godly leader. Is you have to motivate others to follow the Lord. You've got to. Church, we have an opportunity to do something amazing. An opportunity to do something so wonderful and amazing in Huntington. We do. But it's going to take godly leaders. And maybe you're here today and you're saying, "Whew, good thing I'm not a leader." Again, I'll say, I hate to burst your bubble. You are. You are a leader. Whether you think you are or not. See, the question is not whether you are a leader or not. The question is whether you're a good one. I want you to think about that for just a moment. See, New Life needs godly leaders. It does. We need godly leaders here. Men, women, we need godly leaders. Don't say someone else will do it. You need to do it. I need to do it. When the Lord calls us to do something, we've got to do it. Because listen to me, church, let me share my heart for just a moment. Is I don't want to miss out on what the Lord's doing. And see, if Nehemiah would have went up to the wall, would have went up to the king and said, "Nope, not good." And then he would have went up to the wall and said, "Nah, too big." Wow, he would have missed out on something so amazing. See, if you look in the next chapter, we don't have enough time to go through all of it because there's a lot. But you see, who helped on the wall? Who helped on the wall? The least and the greatest. The priest, the high priest, all the way down to the merchants. Every single one had a part in building up the wall. And if we want this church to be a godly church, we want this church to help the community of Huntington, to be the walls of the community of Huntington, you've got to be godly leaders. Maybe you're here today and you're like, well, I'm not sure where to serve. It starts with asking the Lord where He wants you to be. I bet you Nehemiah never thought he would be doing this. I bet you he didn't. And can I tell you, I never thought I'd be preaching. Brian, you ever think you'd be doing you? Some of you who teach Sunday school, maybe you've never thought you've taught young Sunday school. Those that have helped at the meal ministry, you ever thought you'd be doing that? There's lots of things to be doing for the kingdom of God. And can I tell you, church, we're not doing enough. We do a lot, but it isn't enough. Why is it not enough? Because just as the walls were broken down and destroyed, burned with fire, I look out in Huntington, and wow, do I see a lot of broken walls. I look out in this city. I look out in Indiana. Wow, do I see a lot of broken walls. Church, it starts with us. Amen? Amen. Let's stand, church.